Greetings and welcome to the Thirsty Mage, the podcast that's moonwalking their way through each of the regions of Gaia. This week is another deep dive into the world of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and don't worry if you're not through the game yet, as the pub will only be chatting about the second region, Junon, starting from the Mines of Mithril until we touch the sunny shores of Costa del Sol. I'm your host, David Lloyd, and joining me for this discussion is fellow Final Fantasy VII enthusiast, Casey Gibson.
Fellow game of the century enthusiast, yes.
Game of all time.
Yeah, this, we're still early, and yeah, we're not going to get too deep into it, but man, this game is amazing.
Yeah, I was very concerned, with the initial, a lot of games, they give you that initial feeling of being great, and then they lose their momentum, or they lose their steam, or something. You know, the things start to fall off, they don't stick the landing sort of thing, but not quite finished yet, but I'm getting near the end, 60 hours in, and I can say my opinion of it is only gotten stronger as the game has gone on. But yeah, we're definitely sticking to just the second region. I know it seems to kind of be the consensus of where people are these days in their game progression, so we're keeping it from the point where the snake ends up on the pike to the point where we hop off the boat and get ready to put on our beachwear. We're going to stop right before we're going to. I don't know. There's probably no better cliffhanger of ending the episode as right before the.
Before Tifa puts on a bikini.
That's right. You'll have to come back for the next episode for that one.
Well, I was gonna say that might be like a four-parter on its own right there.
But yeah, we got a lot to talk about, though. The Junon region was I was blown away by the grasslands, and then the Junon region it gave me the same great vibes. It was interesting. It was a much different experience when you kind of leave Calm for that first time and you see the grasslands. It's kind of this hey, the world isn't completely screwed. You know, there's some beautiful scenery, and Calm is like this amazing place. Like it's like this picturesque cottagey type village, and then you head into Junon, and then you realize, oh yeah, they're, you know, Shinra really did screw up this world.
Yeah, Midgar wasn't the only place they got their fingers all up in.
Yeah,
you know, like obviously Junon, right? Like there's an upper and lower Junon, similar to like the, you know, above the plates and below the plates in Midgar. So it's interesting to see that like Shinra just likes to elevate off the ground and just literally built, like, it's funny, right? Like I feel like in modern day, like if like a government or something, they want an area, they buy the people out, get them out of there, redo it. Shinra's like, nah, we're just gonna go on top of you. Like you can stay where you are, don't worry about it, but we're gonna just ruin it.
It reminds me of the Mr. Burns where he's like blocking out the sun.
We're just gonna
the rich people are just gonna build this thing right over you and you'll never see the sky again.
Yeah, it's funny too, and I guess we'll get more into the Junons, but it's just obviously right from the original game. A lot of these towns were just sort of like JPEGs that you run over, you know, and you go in different buildings. So a lot of the towns were pretty small. So it's interesting to go to these much more fleshed out and realized cities and towns. It's funny because I knew you went under Junon in the original one, but I was like, man, like I don't even remember it compared to this lower Junon. And then, then I looked at I Googled it and I was like, oh, that's right. Because it's like a screen, you know what I mean? Like
one screen. Yeah.
Where, yeah, like now this under Junon is big. It's got docks, ships and stuff. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah.
And I felt the same about Calm as well. But I guess Junon just in general is much more burned into my brain from the original one with it. Obviously the giant cannon up top and stuff and the yeah. parade and all the fun things you do there. But yeah, it's, oh goodness. Like I haven't even gotten to the Golden Saucer yet, which we're not going to talk about in this episode. Aside from that, I'm really excited to see how they flesh that yeah. thing out because I've been in the dark somehow.
Yeah. But before we went from the grasslands to Junon, we had to travel through the Mithril Mines, as, Cloud and Party, were following the men in robes, and yeah, so they're heading through the mines, and, it's more, I would say it's more of a transition area, like, it's not too long, you know, you walking through the mines, there's a mini boss battle with the Turks, which is pretty neat. This is where we're first introduced to Elena, who replaced Reno after he got injured in the Sector 7 plate drop. It's funny, I for a second there, I was like, oh, wow, they created a new Turk for this game. That's weird. And then I actually had to Google it to realize, no, like, she's an optional character from the first game. Like, I don't remember her at all. But I remember I was laughing when I saw it, because originally I thought, like, oh, is this going to be, like, some kind of thing where... they had like some Tifa DNA and they cloned her to become a Turk or something, because Elena looks like Tifa in a blonde wig.
Yeah, definitely reminiscent of Tifa.
Yeah, that would and that same fighting style too. She's kind of like the
the martial artist kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. So that's why I'm glad I Googled it before I came on, because I probably would look pretty stupid, like, oh, brand new Turk.
Yeah, brand new character. I've never seen this one before.
Yeah. What a Jimmy. He doesn't even he hasn't even played Final Fantasy VII.
And he says he's a Final Fantasy fan.
I know, eh?
Oh, well, aren't you actually currently playing the original Final Fantasy as well?
Yeah, so that's because I'm nuts. I have basically the way I've been playing lately is I kind of have like one big game I play when I have free time, like on the big TV and everything. But I also have like these moments throughout the day, like in the morning before work or waiting to pick up the kids, or like I'll have like a half hour here, a half hour there, where I'll play something on a handheld. And I decided, like, oh, okay, I'm done Golden Sun. I need something to replace it. Now I'm playing the original Final Fantasy VII. So I'm about halfway through Midgar in that one. So I'm hoping to catch up so I can kind of see the contrast between, like you said, there's so many times where we're like, basically, like, you get these moments in Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy VII, that are just, like, stretched out and built upon, and, like, I guess it won't be in this episode, but the Johnny character, I ran into him in Midgar, and I'm like, man, he's such a one-off NPC.
like a nothing character, yeah.
Yeah, and they've just, like, built this whole story behind him and stuff, and, it's incredible what how they've been able to kind of maintain the spirit of the first game while just like adding hours and hours of content upon the new one.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I mean, I guess we knew the world would be blown out, right? Obviously, when we first the whole idea of the remake, and you know, was like, oh, we finally get to see this world in like beautiful 3D graphics and like how, you know, vast it can be. But it is, I mean, and obviously it goes hand in hand to make that world feel alive. You obviously need to, you know, flesh out the characters in the world and stuff, but they've done just such an awesome job that it's just even just like Queen Blood characters, you know what I mean, like I forget her name, but she's sort of like the badass that goes around, and she's like, you know, the, you know,
oh yeah,
Queen's Blood champ. And like, you sort of team up with her a little bit here and there, but it just seems like you know, like they're just doing such a good job of bringing the world to life and making it, you know, not only exciting to go see the next town that, you know, you remember from the original and see how they've made it like look really cool and stuff, but like, no, now I'm going to get to see all the character and personality in that world as well. And yeah, and I guess for me, sort of comparing the first two zones, right, Grasslands and Junon, like, I really, really like the towns in Junon, like, going to the Crow's Nest, Upper and Lower Junon, like, I don't know. I found it really, like, I was excited to get into that zone. And it didn't really disappoint, you know?
Well, I like when they first, so when you first exit the mines, you kind of get, it's kind of the similar moment to Calm where you walk out of the town and you kind of survey the area. And it's like complete stark contrast to the grasslands where they walk in. Yeah. And like, oh yeah, the world isn't, you know, there's the planet's fighting, you know, but then they come out to Juon and it's just like trash land. Like there's shipwrecks in the harbor and it's all rock. There's like no grass whatsoever. Everything is kind of in disarray. And then they get to lower Juon and it's the first person they meet is the mayor of the town. Who has their wanted posters on her yeah. tablet. And she's like, man, you guys are worth a lot of money. And I love Barrett's line where he goes, well, you know what they say, can't take it with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, while he's polishing his arm.
Yeah, dude, Barrett's so good. I mean, honestly, they're all so good. But yeah, no, you know, not afraid to let you know what's what.
Yep. And so they head into town. And then this is where we first meet Yuffie, which is a fun encounter where the party doesn't even know how to really deal with her. She's just like kind of bouncing around and like, who's this?
Who's this psychopath?
Yeah.
That keeps like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess there's a fun scene. Like they had, I guess the first thing that happens is like, there's like kids that are like attacked. There's like a fish that's like attacking people in the harbor that you end up taking down. And that kind of gets right the town on your side, I guess. Like initially there's some hesitation to kind of deal with the party or whatever. And yeah, then there's this great big fish and they end up, that's a pretty good boss fight, like on that kind of dock area.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. And then with the dolphin, that's, I love that dolphin.
And yeah, they get launched up there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Well, it's funny, yeah, right? Because that was like, it's such an absurd situation. Yeah, the dolphin launches your cloud, what, 100 feet in the air up to a platform. And obviously, right, on PlayStation 1 with little, you know, 8 polygonal graphics, you know, it's like, okay, whatever, you launch. But so you're like, but in like real life or a more realistic version, you're like, how are they going to do this? It's going to be so silly.
Yeah.
But yet, and yet, like, wait, it was like a little mini game or something with the, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Like you had to ride the dolphin. Like you had to pop balloons to speed up the dolphin because you had to get to a certain speed.
Yeah. And it almost had like a wave race.
Yeah.
It felt like where you had to go in between or around the certain areas or, you know, pylons. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you get launched up there and yeah, it's silly and outrageous, but it doesn't feel like stupid, you know, within the context of the game. And I think that's a lot. I feel like they've done a really good job of like making the serious parts serious and making like the not so serious parts like really pretty comedic,
fun, you know,
yeah, yeah, comedical or wow, can't even say that word right. That's probably not
comical.
Comical. Yeah. Durr. It's early people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it like it's just really nice, I think, you know, just a position of like, hey, this is when it's serious, you know, it is trying to tell a story that matters. And then, you know, but they're also not afraid to really get goofy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was I enjoyed the quest in this one. There was the you had mentioned like one of the areas in Juon is the crow's nest. And it's kind of this village. I guess basically there's like the people who live in Lower Juon have kind of just been relegated to like, yeah, you know, the Shinra runs up top. We just kind of live down here. And then there's a group of people who I rebels, I guess, or just like didn't want to deal with Shinra or, you know, doesn't, I don't know. It's hard to say if I don't think they're actually doing anything other than they're just trying to live on their own outside of the town. So, cause they built this little village kind of on the outskirts near the cliffs, up in the cliffs near the seaside. And the mayor's son, I guess it is living out there with his wife and soon to be child. And one of the fun quests was the mayor wanted to give him money and, And so she put the money on this dog, and the dog was to lead you to Crow's Nest because it's initially locked. Like the people who are guarding it won't let you in. And that's the way it ends up being unlocked. So you end up running to following this dog. And yeah, I like the music. It gets reused later in the game. There's, oh, I guess I shouldn't spoil the, it's not really a spoil, but I don't know. It's kind of just like this weird mellow music while you're following the dog. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, honestly, I'm trying to remember the music off my head, but I'm not. I do remember it was a real long walk.
Oh, it is a real long
walk. Well, follow that dog for a hot minute.
Yeah, and what's funny is this is, so this is where I learned that there's a right way to do quests and a wrong way to do quests. Because, so the dog brought me to the area, and, you know, I started talking to them, and then I just started doing another quest, and I don't remember the mayor saying this, but apparently you were supposed to walk the dog back to Lower Junon. You're supposed to be the guard for the dog to kind of get there and back, but I had only followed him there, and then I didn't bother going back. And I'm in my quest log, and I'm noticing like a couple of the quests have the gold sticker, but this one doesn't. It just says complete, and I'm like, well, that's weird. Why don't I have a gold one? What did I do wrong? And the next time I ended up back at Lower Junon, the mayor chewed me out for not.
He's like, you monster.
Yeah, he's like, you're supposed to escort him back. What's your problem? And Barrett was like, I don't think he needed protection. He was good.
It's funny because I don't think I ran him back. I'm gonna have to check my quest log because I've definitely other quests, right? I think that's in the third zone. Without spoils, you can get a minimum of four of these items for like a one star. Six of them for two stars, so you can find all eight for three stars. Now, I don't know how that affects the outcome of the quest, because I went and got all eight pieces. I've been trying to just, get all three stars if I can. But I wonder if that, doesn't give you 100% towards the checkoff for each zone, or if it's maybe just the rewards aren't as good.
I think you might just get a different cutscene, because So there was that one that I pooched, but I also messed up the quest. I can't remember. There was the bird. I can't remember what kind of bird it was, but there was the bird that lives in the area. And one of the quests is you're supposed to get food for the bird, for the guy in the wheelchair in Crow's Nest. And so there was this area where there was this cow that you're supposed to get, like, kill and get meat from. But a dragon comes and picks up the cow and takes him away. So I'm like chasing the dragon.
Come back!
Yeah, that's my food. So anyway, I get to the end and you fight the dragon. And then I didn't really notice at the time. So the dragon dies and the dragon's like beside the cow. And apparently you were supposed to choose between the two. And I didn't know there was a choice. I just hit the X button because I thought I was like progressing the story. But apparently I had chosen the dragon meat.
Oh, good thing I picked the cow.
Yeah. So I went back. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it would have changed anything. But like I went and put the meat there, and this bird or whatever it is came and picked up the meat and ate it. And everyone was like enamored that the bird came or whatever. So I don't know if there would have been anything different. But again, I didn't get the gold star because I picked the wrong meat. If I did, but I wish I had known at the time. I wasn't really paying attention to the gold stuff at the when I was playing, but now, ever since then, I've been on alert. I'm like, no, I need.
I gotta go back and redo some things.
Yeah, if I pooch this, I gotta save right before I start this quest.
It is interesting. Like I said, I wonder. We should probably look it up at some point. But yeah, like if it is just a matter of some different dialogue or because I know when you do some of like the mini games, right? Like if you get a certain score, they give you one item or a little reward. And then, they usually have two or three tiers and to get the bigger, better item, usually like an equipment slot, belt or something. So I wonder if that has something to do with it. But yeah, it's, oh God, It's so funny because, like, I mean, anyone who's heard me talk about JRPGs in the past know that I'm not a side quest guy, and I just can't help but do every single side quest in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did, because, like, even, like, the frog one, right? When you go down, I believe it's Lower Junon, I went to this area actually first, and like a bunch of little kids were like, hey, beat it. This is,
no adults allowed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kids only.
Yeah.
So like, okay. And then later on, I don't know exactly what I did to progress it, or, you know, I just kept doing the quests and things in the zone. And eventually, yeah, I got to the point where I had to go down there. Yeah. And then you turn into a frog.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, and like, you've turned into a frog sometimes as a debuff when you're fighting, you know, enemies, which honestly I hate. Like, yeah. There's nothing worse than when you get turned into a frog and all you can do is like a little bubble blast or whatever, and you're like,
or the jump attack.
Or leapfrog.
Leapfrog.
So it's like, oh, but. Yeah, you turn into a frog and, like, you know, Tifa's got, like, her clothes on as a frog still, you know, like, just so funny.
I got wrecked in the first time I did that, because I, like, just went and attacked all the monsters at once, because I had, like, got aggroed all of them, like, I got attacked and just died.
You.
Yeah, so then I had to restart it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just stick to one at a time, because clearly I can't do my normal all attack everything mode. So I got through it the second time, but that was a pretty hilarious, everything about that was hilarious. And even like when they, at the end of the quest, they're like chatting about it and everything, and then Tifa shoves Cloud back into the
mm-hmm, yep back. And then after that, too, it actually sort of reminded me of Final Fantasy 14 style minigame, where you're still the frog, and then they have like the bars. I guess it's sort of in the middle. It's like a, you know, it's sort of like a clock almost. Clock hands go rotating, one going counterclockwise, one going clockwise, and you got to jump and avoid it.
I forgot about that.
And then like the different platforms fall over time, and it's pretty, honestly, I didn't have too much trouble with it, but it was fun. And I, like I said, it definitely gave me Final Fantasy 14 vibes.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just another funny little weird mini game thrown in there.
It was funny. Getting like launched off that, but when the hands actually hit you and the frog is like going like way across the screen.
Yeah, it's not like it just pushes you off. It's like, no, yeah,
it like launches you off that thing.
It reminds me of like Smash Brothers. Like, oh, you have like 150%.
Yeah.
And it's like, pew, see you later.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. What else do we got? There's so much in this region. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, and then I guess we actually, for patrons, we did an episode on Queen's Blood, which I believe is already out, right, for Abenton?
Yep.
So we went into detail about Queen's Blood, and actually in this region is really the first place that it enlightens you to that, you know, the story behind Queen's Blood. Very vaguely, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get a quest by just, I believe, I got it by just doing Queen's Blood in the previous area. And then eventually it's like, hey, you should definitely go check out this guy.
Cameron.
Yeah. Cameron in the Crow's Nest and give him a challenge, you know? And then when you go out there, you fight him. And it's funny because I guess I thought he was going to be good. And that was one of probably my strongest games right off the bat. Like, I've had a couple, you know, I've definitely lost before, you know, or I'm like, oh, I'm not in a good position to win. Let me just reset this real quick. But this one I did really good, and I beat him like 20 something to zero. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you have some sort of like flashback or vision. And it's pretty vague, to be honest with you. But like, it's like, oh, why do they call it Queen's Blood? Right. Like essentially, like there's some sort of weird thing behind the game. And how it came to be. I'm assuming as we continue to push forward, it's going to reveal more. But it does just enough to really, it leaves it vague, but makes it interesting where you're like, huh.
Yeah. It's just a card game.
Clearly. Yeah, there's more to it. It's not just a complete side, like, oh, we're just going and having fun, which we are, but there is more to it. So, but like, really, it doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
So it definitely gets you that, like, ooh, I can't wait to go to new regions, and I'm sure there's going to be other people I play where I get this sort of, you know, look back at maybe the origins of how the game to be. So that was really cool, I thought, because it was definitely not something I was expecting.
Yeah, like, Queen's Blood has always been fun, and I've always, like, whenever I enter a new region, that's one of the first things I'm looking for is, okay, where are the Queen's Blood players at? But having that little bit of motivation to see what happens, like, okay, what's going on with this story, like, what's behind these cards, just gives it that little extra incentive to hope for that, like, the quest character, whatever, like, ranking up enough where you take on a Queen's Blood boss to get that story.
That would be cool if, like, at the end there's some sort of, yeah, you battle in the game and you win, but then you got to battle afterwards in person, because, you know.
Yeah,
like, I could definitely see them ramping it up and having some fun with it. But yeah, I think that just goes to just, there's so much attention to detail, and there's just so much to do in this game. But, like, they do just such a great job of not making it, not making it feel tedious or boring to do it. But also, yeah, like it the opposite, it incentivizes you. Like, really, right? You could just mainline the game, go quest to quest, or main quest to main quest. You know, I'm sure there's probably some side things that maybe are required to do, where, like, oh, I could do this while doing the main quest. But it just, for me, it's just how you get to a zone. They've got a few markers on there, right? You usually get to, like, oh, okay, I'm in the new city here or town. You know, maybe one of the quest board, you know, community board quests is unlocked to do. Maybe a few little things here. Oh, look, there's a tower over there to explore. And it's just so nice. It, like, slowly, it, like, drip feeds you this content. So it's not like you look at your map and it's just like, oh my God, like, where do I go? There's so much to do. It's like, no, there's like 3 points of interest when you get to a new zone. You know, like I said, then you check out the tower. It opens up a few more points of interest, and it just feels really organic to, like, just introduce it to you without making it overwhelming. Obviously, like I said, you don't have to do a lot of this stuff, but it just feels really good. And you know, as a guy who isn't usually all about that, it feels good to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously Final Fantasy VII is, you know, such an important game and in my life, both of ours, you know, but yep, a lot of people's lives in general. So any way to spend more time in the world and seeing it like fully fleshed out is just like an incredible, incredible feeling for me.
Yeah. Well, on that note too, it's the same with the proto relics. Like, there's when you usually there's, I don't know if there's a, like, a set amount of proto relic or like quests or whatever in each region, but there's usually like 3 or 4 or something. And then when you actually get the proto relic, you get this drip feed of like this backstory of what's going on. I've seen so many at this point, I can't remember the Junon one. If I'm pretty sure that
Fort Condor.
Yeah. But when Cloud actually, like, grabs the proto relic, do you get a cutscene in Junon?
I'm trying to, because I remember Barrett, I believe, is the one who grabs it from the enemy. I'm trying to think.
Okay, so here's a slight spoiler if you want to skip for the next 10 seconds, but when you grab a proto relic, Cloud is, like, put in this other dimension where he sees this character, and there's, like, a little bit of dialogue, and then it cuts back. That didn't happen to Junon yet, I guess?
Trying to think. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, like, actually, because I remember Barrett, like, his little tiny character grabbed it,
yeah, like,
in the game.
Well, it was definitely when they're back in the real world, because there's a... Yeah, I guess a slight spoiler. Well, it's not even a spoiler. It's just here's a heads up of when you start getting proto relics, you're going to start getting another back, like a very it was very similar to Queen's Blood, where it's like you get like this vague hint of like something's going on. But in each region, as you get the proto relic, like you get this new one, and they just get better as in each subsequent region. Like you get a little bit more, and they're even funnier. Mm. So yeah, it's just kind of going back to the, to, like you said, with like you get these, this drip feed of things in each of the quests, where it just gives you this incentive to do it. Like on top of the fact that it's just fun to do to begin with, because it.
Did you like the Fort Condor game?
It was all right. Like it, having done other, I've grown to appreciate it based on some other mini games. I'm like, oh man, I wish I was doing Fort Condor, not this. But it was fun enough. Like it was, it's one of those things. Fort, like that game can be difficult. I found like there was a couple that were a little bit harder. I didn't have to redo too many. Like I think the final one I might have had to redo once. I feel like the third one was the hardest one.
For me, I think like I did the first one pretty much no problem. I think I did the second one with like a little bit, like, yeah, maybe a restart, but like it wasn't too hard. And then the third one, yeah, I was having trouble. And then I think I went to just sort of see, like, is there a strategy I'm missing here?
Yeah.
And they were like, change it to this, you know, team unit. Essentially, right, you've got Cloud, Tifa, Barret, who can be two of the three captains. You have two on the field, or the ability to call two on the field. And then you've got like there's a number of different army types that you could switch between, and they have different units. I didn't realize that you could switch the units. Like I was switching up, you know, Tifa, Cloud, and Barret, and they're like, try this one. And then all of a sudden you get like the catapults.
Yeah.
And like that was a game changer, because it was like, all right, I'm going to push up a little bit, drop this catapult that can help take out like the two side
the towers
turrets, or whatever. Yeah, or towers. And then the third and fourth one weren't nearly as difficult once I had sort of that toolkit better, you know, laid out. But yeah, I thought it was actually pretty fun. I really liked, like, I love the just how it looks, right? Because it obviously it sort of harkens back to like the original Final Fantasy VII, you know, very boxy looking characters.
Yeah,
I thought that was sort of cool as like a little like, hey, you know, this is what it's the characters like. If
I love that they acknowledge it too.
Yeah.
What is going on here? Why do we look like this?
But yeah, I had fun with it. I haven't tried to, like, after you know, do the proto relic quest and you know, beat the four and you get it, then it unlocks four more difficult versions of it. And I did not
attempt that either. There's something similar in a later region, and I sure as hell I'm not going anywhere near that.
Yeah, I thought like maybe there'd be a time, you know, 20 hours down the road in the game where I'm like, yeah, you know what, maybe I will go back and mess around with that or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like that feels much more like if I was going for a platinum or something, like, yeah, hey, maybe let me do this. But I have a feeling I'll probably just gonna keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
But I did, that being said, I did really have fun while I was playing it, for sure, you know?
Yeah. I like how it they've included it in the game. Like it's good to go back to it, but I also like that it's like, no, they've switched to this Queen's Blood. It's that's the kind of the ongoing game that travels throughout the region. So I'm happy they went with that, but glad I got that little taste of it again.
Definitely.
Head on up to the upper Junon, and we had talked about earlier, you have this funny scene where the team can't get up there because the elevator is being guarded by Shinra. So they realize they have to take this ship. There's like this crane that has a ship, and so they have to get to this area where they could drop the boat down to the water, and then the party can get on the boat, and then they'll pull it up to Upper Junon. But yeah, you go through this kind of wave race-esque mini game where Cloud rides the dolphin to build up speed, and then the dolphin like fires him up onto the crane, and then uses that to bring everybody up. And then once you get up there, again, like the amount of detail in like areas where you're really not in that area for too long, like Upper Junon, I don't think it was much longer than like an hour or two, but the town up there was insane. I'm like walking through and I'm like, why is there so much area to explore? There's too many stores. Like, this is insane. And then I thought they did a great job of incentivizing again the exploration by so when you first get up there, they decide to put on the soldiers' outfits to blend in, and then Cloud gets chosen as captain for the parade, and they tell him, okay, you got to go find like the rest of the platoon or whatever. So one of the mini games is that you have to actually, you know, walk around Upper Junon and find where all these Shinra soldiers are to tell them, you know, the parade is about to start. You have to kind of get in line, and I think there's like 8 squads that mm-hmm. you only need 4, but to kind of to get the 3-star, you have to get all 8. So there was no way I wasn't getting the 3-star. So I like walking around trying to find all the squad members, and I'm just in awe of all, like, there's like, and some of the buildings have like multiple floors and stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, man, they put so much effort into this area. And I think my favorite place to find a squad, I don't remember what the bar was called, but it was for bald people only.
Oh, my bar?
Yeah.
I know I'm looking it up. It was like Glaber something or another. Bald bar in Final Fantasy. But yes, because then they have like a really funny, like they all sort of like brush their heads, like their bald head, like yeah, a squeak, you know what I mean? Like they're all in unison.
Rude's down, or not Rude. Rude. He's the bald guy. Yeah, the Turk, he's down there and he's like,
yeah, he's like, what do you mean? Like, oh, what, your kind's not down? Like, it was like, oh, shoot, they know we're not one of them or something.
Take off your helmets.
Yeah. Let's see it. What, you got hair under there? Yeah, like, that's, oh, okay. Because especially when you see Rude, right, being a Turk, you're thinking, oh, crap, like, I just walked in on something, you know what I mean? Like, bigger than, and then like, oh, no, it's actually just like the silliest thing ever.
They have like a song and everything. I love how Cloud, it's almost like Cloud has walked in on like this culty, like he's like, what is going on in here?
It's just, yeah. And it's funny because there's another bar, right, that like is like a sort of high end, like almost piano bar. Up, like you go upstairs and over there. And yeah, the bald bar is like down, and like you go down into like the alley, it's sort of hidden away.
Yeah.
And it's funny because obviously, right, you're in Junon is Shinra territory. They're having a big event, right? Like they got the parade and all this stuff. So there's Shinra soldiers everywhere. But yeah, you need to find the ones the Midgar unit has like a red band on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. Or their arm, I should say. So it is cool like to go around. It's like, oh, there's some more. Oh, wait, no, that's not actually my unit. And then just going around. And it's funny because I found 7 of the 8. I was like, where the heck is this last unit? And then I found like a whole other building I didn't even like notice. And there was like, yeah, a couple floors in there too. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah. You don't know, it's insane. And then that, when you find all the squad members and you go to the parade, you actually have to choose the right combination of soldiers in order to, like, you have to, there's like 2 different, ceremonies that you do, and you have to make sure that both of them are 3-star difficulty in order to win the parade, I guess. They're having like a competition with other members of the Shinra army. The other team that you're fighting against is the mobile unit led by Roche, who's, we'll talk about him in a second.
Oh yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so you do this, like, it's, I guess, like a rhythm game where...
It's like theater rhythm?
Oh, yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit?
Where, yeah, like, you have to hit the right button combinations to the music, and then you get, like, the visual cues or whatever. I thought it was pretty clever. It's also
very cinematic, right? Like, it's not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're just pressing buttons along, like, a Guitar Hero-esque line, you know? It is like the camera is swooshing around and the guns are flipping and, you know, it's very, yeah, visually nice.
Yeah, well, I like how, like, the button presses are kind of intermixed in the scenery. Like, they're coming out of no, like, they'll come from weird angles, and so it's not like, it's not this easy, like, okay, you know, I have to hit the button now or whatever. Like, there is like a little circle, but the perspective of the circle is always changing, and where the button indicators are coming from always changes, and they'll be like going up and down and all around and stuff. So it makes it more interesting. More challenging too. And then yeah, we get I don't know if it affects, like, I ended up getting the winning the commendation, so the party went up to see the president.
Is that so? They give away, at least in mine, when I did it, they gave away like two awards. Like, the first one I didn't win, Roach.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And then the second one was the commendation one or something. So yeah. I guess I was a big loser boy. So I lost. Yeah, I guess I didn't win the first one, but I won the second one. So you still got to meet, with the president.
Okay. Yeah. I ended up winning both, but the first one, the squad commander, like the woman that had selected Cloud, she went up to get that award.
She collected it
on behalf of the squad.
I made that unit.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if it affects anything other than that, but there, I know that Roche does like chirp me in the when. So later in the game, you're heading back through. So there's this cutscene with Yuffie, and you get to play as Yuffie very briefly. Where so the party goes and goes to accept the award from Shinra, and from Rufus, the president there, and so they're having this conversation where Rufus tells Cloud that they're going to leave him alone, but they want him to go kill Sephiroth. And Yuffie interrupts.
Cloud's even surprised, though. He's like, wait, he's like, for real? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just going to, like, be cool with that? And it was like, yep, you go kill them. Because, right, we learn earlier in the chapter, right, that the Turks' main focus isn't to find them anymore, right? And it's like, like, don't even worry about Cloud and the gang. Just go find follow the robed men.
Yeah.
And then, so this sort of... And right at the time, you're like, is that actually true? Like, am I getting debated here? You know, like, they're going to just end up actually, you know. But then, yeah, he sort of reiterates, like, yo, like, I don't actually care about you guys. Like, <Yeah. laughs> I'm just like, this is what I'm after, you know.
Get rid of Sith Ruff.
Yeah, go do it. And, you know, yeah, Cloud's like, all right, like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Yuffie throws a little wrench in the, well, or a ninja star in the plan, if you will.
Yeah, and saves. Heidegger ends up pushing the president out of the way, takes the hit, and then it doesn't seem like there's any consequences to it, because they're like, oh, you know, I think the Shinra people were like, oh, it was all a ruse on your part, eh? And
screw you.
Yeah, so yeah, they...
Hands off!
Yeah, so Cloud decides to end up... So they want to get to the boat to get to Costa de Sol, because they know that's where the old men are going. Yeah. But that whole sequence of Cloud running through, so the members of the squad end up joining Cloud in this weird, like, the five party members are kind of off going through the place on their own, and Cloud's supposed to be like a distraction, I guess. And some Shinra soldiers from Midgar end up, finding him. I'm like, Captain, what do we do? And
oh, yeah.
Cloud's like, oh, I guess we're fighting.
Yeah, we need to find these traitors.
Yeah, the traitors are wearing Shinra clothes.
Yeah, they're like, we're just going to not trust anyone, and then you just go wrecking everybody.
Yeah, and I love, I don't know, again, I don't know the consequences of, but you're supposed to keep your squad mates alive through all these fights or whatever. Yeah, I ended up keeping them alive. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, it all ends with a fight with Roche. It's like the weirdest thing. And even Cloud is like, where the hell am I?
Yeah, what is that? It's like a fight club, like a gladiator or a coliseum. It's so weird.
Yeah. And Roche is like put on that he's got the Shinra soldiers. It's like Mad Max sort of thing where they're like all cheered up on in the stands or whatever. And
he's like riding his motorcycle around the walls and stuff. Like,
yeah, that was an amazing. It was probably the easiest boss fight in the game, but it was still amazing.
Yeah, visually super cool.
Yeah.
And I think that was you leave your troops before you fight him, right?
Yeah, they kind of just take a step back and join the crowd.
Yeah, because they sort of, they're like, I feel like they like sort of pin it together. They're like, oh, like maybe you're the, like, were we the bad guys? You know, like, but like also not like attacking Cloud or anything. It is like, all right, see ya. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I guess Roche, like, he doesn't break his cover or anything. Like, he just kind of makes it like, oh, you know, you represent the Midgar and we're the Mobile and we're defending our honor sort of thing. It's like you and me. And so they have this big fight and Cloud wins, and then Roche has the opportunity to out him, but he's like, no, like, go. And Cloud's like, really? And he's like, yep, just, you know, we'll meet again. Don't you worry.
Yeah, it's funny how like there's so many opportunities for Cloud and the gang to just get turned in, but for whatever reason, they keep on pushing forward. Luckily,
yeah. And then so they leave there, and I love the scene between the Shinra soldiers and Cloud at the end, where the soldiers were like, "Oh, we were just kind of dead weight to you, sir," and he's like, "No, like, you know, Midgar forever or whatever, like this," or, you know, it's funny, you spend all this time like fighting Shinra soldiers and killing them on the streets and stuff, and then they have like this heartfelt moment together of like
camaraderie. Maybe not all bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're my boy Blue.
Yeah. 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 That's a pretty funny scene. But I guess we'll finish up this episode with a fun little, they almost feel like intermissions between the regions. So, it's the boat to Costa del Sol.
Baby.
Oh man, was this fun? So it's like this fun little, interlude, I guess you'd call it, where the party ends up on the boat, and the captain's like, "Who are you guys?" And we're like, "Well, we won the accommodation. They told us we got a free trip to Costa del Sol." And the captain's like, "Okay."
Yeah, he's like, I don't see you on the itinerary, but sure.
Yeah.
And this, I believe the Shinra 8, right? I believe the boat's called. It's a,
yeah,
it's almost looks like a mix of like a cruise boat, but also like a ferry.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's cool though.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're on the boat and they're kind of walking around, and then the captain announces there's a Queen's Blood tournament, and my jaw dropped because I'm like, oh,
yes, yes. Yes. And that's why the boat to Costa del Sol was my favorite part of the game.
Oh, man. I just that was such a fun sequence. So I think it ends up being 5 Queen's Blood matches, I think, by the time you get to the end.
Yeah, you fight like a nobody. Then I believe you fight Barrett. The robot. Oh,
I fought the robot second, I think.
Oh, I get.
You get to, well, it's funny. You get to actually get to choose, because there's one round where there's like a nobody. Maybe the robot was the first one. I can't remember, but there's like a Queen's Blood robot I ended up playing. There was, yeah, I think Barrett, I think Barrett was one of the options, but then there's another one's like between Tifa and Aerith.
Oh, see, I guess I just didn't realize necessarily that there was, I just ran into the first person I could play and I played them, because I know I played Barrett. I did not play Tifa, probably just because I couldn't beat her.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't eliminate her.
Yeah.
I believe I played Aerith, and then, yeah, maybe there's a couple of randos. Then you play that girl I had mentioned before. I forget her name.
Was it like Melanie or something?
And she's sort of like the, hey, I'm the best.
Queen's Blood champ, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the best. Then you beat her. But it's funny, right? When you register for the tournament early, Red's like, I'll play. And they're like, sorry, like, no dogs, you know? Yeah. So,
and he was pissed.
Yeah, yeah, he was upset, yeah. Right? So then you beat the final chick, and yeah, you're the champion. And then
the
maybe
greatest scene ever.
Maybe the best part of the game. And yeah, I guess like if you really don't want any spoilers, like, because this is a really funny moment, you know, skip ahead a minute or two. But yeah, then we are treated to the most beautiful cutscene of all time. Someone walks in, and then sure enough, it's Red dressed in human clothes on 2 feet.
The Shinra soldier uniform, just like the original game.
And then he does the moonwalk. over to the table, and it's like, what is going on? And then he is really hard.
Yes.
He's really good at the game. Yeah. It took me a while to beat him because his deck just has a lot of cards with abilities.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was just ramping up, like, multiplying his scores a bunch. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, Red is actually tough. And I believe, like, you don't need to beat him. Because, like when I did a reset, there was, like, a forfeit and don't try again option, essentially. But I did beat him, so. But, yeah, that was probably the biggest surprise I've seen in this game that, like, actually made me, like, LOL, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's funny because, like, when we got on the boat, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, they're not doing the Red 13 in the soldier uniform thing, because I remember that from the original game being hilarious. And I'm like, oh, it's too bad. I wish I would have liked to have seen that. And then I was even in the Discord where I said something to that effect, like, oh, it's too bad we didn't get Red in the soldier uniform. And then I know one of the people that was ahead of me was, like, laughing and to that comment, and
Will.
Then when I got there, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, just perfection. I think, like I said, it sort of just reiterates what we were saying before, how it's like the serious moments are serious, but I'm just really happy they didn't take, like, the silliness of the first game and, like, get rid of it because of, like, we're going for a serious game here, you know. I love that it is such a silly, wacky game, and it's not afraid to really lean into that at different points. And, you know, obviously, like I said, I'm in the third area now, so I've still got a long ways to go. So I'm sure there's going to be some more outrageous things. But I guess really, you know, we should have known when the Hell House in the first part was, like, they made just
an
epic boss.
Yeah.
And, like, was actually the coolest thing ever, that, like, they're going to find ways to take the silliness and either ramp it up or just keep it in the game and make it work.
Yeah, definitely leaning into those moments. So I guess we'll finish up our discussion of the second region with the final. So I wasn't expecting a boss battle on this boat.
No.
So there's a bunch of rogue men on the boat, and then Fiends end up boarding, I guess, or, like, flying onto the boat and then merging with the rogue men to create these, like, mega monsters.
It's like Resident Evil, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy, the whole scene. And then it ends with kind of, like, I guess, kind of like a mini Sephiroth to a certain extent. Like, there's this weird, like, monster-y thing or whatever, and you end up fighting that, but it's like Sephiroth is, like, talking through the monster to Cloud, and this is kind of where we're starting to see Sephiroth's plan in motion, where he's clearly knows something about Cloud and Tifa, and he's trying his best to keep them apart.
Mm.
And he mentions, so he's trying to, like,
I know why Sephiroth wants Tifa for himself.
Oh, that's probably, like, 100% the reason. But he's kind of planting this bug in Cloud's mind that Tifa is not real, that it's Genova in disguise, because trying to build the memory of, like, how they found out, like, Genova can mimic people or whatever, like, he's trying to insinuate that Tifa's not real, that it's Genova in disguise.
Oh, God. This better not lead to anything tragic down the line, or I'll be very upset. We'll see.
Save that for another episode.
Yeah. Well, I guess, right, we could sort of mention, we were thinking as we plug through this game, and time-wise is going to be more on me than it is David, but that we're going to do an episode for each zone and sort of break it down like this. And then, you know, obviously, I mean, I think it's interesting listening, and people playing the game can sort of listen along, but it'll be cool to have all of our thoughts on each zone for the game in perpetuity in, like, a whole collection, right? And at the end of the game, I'm sure we'll have a big spoilery-esque chat about everything, but it'll be nice to, along the way, sort of have that too. So anyone listening out there, you can sort of expect more of these episodes where we're sort of, you know, talking about the different things that happen in the zones, and also our experience with them too. So I think it should be pretty fun.
We're going to take a break on the Final Fantasy for at least a week anyway. We'll probably have, we're getting into kind of the summer, summer reveals. So we'll probably go, with maybe a little predictions episode next week and kind of see where people are at, give everyone, at home a chance to catch up. If you're not quite through the third region yet or beyond. So yeah, we'll take a, move on to some other games, even though I'm really only playing Final Fantasy related stuff right now.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, if you're not really into Final Fantasy, you're probably not listening at this point of the podcast, but yeah, it won't just be Final Fantasy on the feeds.
Yeah.
You know, especially, well, although who knows, we do have, we did get a date for Final Fantasy 14 expansion.
yeah.
Although that's not till July. So we got some time for that.
Yeah. I'll have to find 150 hours between now and then to catch up to that expansion.
Dude, isn't it crazy? I was thinking about it, right? So we got 16 last year. We got 7 here. We got 14 expansion coming out. We got 16 expansion DLC coming out.
Yeah.
You wasn't know the there's 14,
wasn't Endwalker last year too?
I believe,
or was that the year before?
I believe it's every 2 years usually.
Okay.
Although I think Endwalker came out in, it was like the end of the year. Yeah, I'm looking at December 2021. So actually a little bit longer than 2 years.
Oh, right? Man.
Two and a, yeah.
Doesn't feel that long ago, but I guess
actually,
so.
Actually, yeah, 22, 23. No.
Endwalker. No, it wasn't that long ago.
Released on December 7th, 2021.
Really? Oh, man.
So what? It's been 2 years.
Two and a bit.
Two and a half. I guess usually, I know with like World of Warcraft, it's usually every 2-ish years. And I think Final Fantasy was around that also. But
okay.
I guess for whatever reason. But yeah. Yeah, so it's just crazy because like you know they're probably working on some sort of DLC for 7 remake. And then it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot of really high quality Final Fantasy stuff coming out right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The last couple years.
But if you're still looking for a little bit more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth talk, we do have a Patreon episode that's posted now. If you're not in the Patreon, or if you're not in the Patreon, sorry.
I always mess that up, yep.
Yeah. It's exclusively on Queen's Blood. So we have a Patreon, patron-only episode on Queen's Blood. If you want to join up, you can go to patreon.com/thethirstymage, or you can head to thethirstymage.com and just click on the Patreon link for a couple bucks a month. You can help support the podcast to help cover the costs of running this wonderful podcast RPG. And the there's some old Abed episodes on there, Abed Time episodes on there now, but yeah, we just posted a brand new one on Queen's Blood that's there, and then we'll be doing at least once a month going forward. So we actually have the April one booked. I have to pick up the game for that one. But yeah, we'll be doing those some more, so you'll have access to that. Plus, you'll get the episodes a week early as well. So there's those benefits and maybe some more along the way. So yeah, you can head over there when you can. But I guess for now we'll put a. Put a little bit of break into the Final Fantasy stuff until next week.
We'll put a break on talking about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
We can go play some Final Fantasy.
That's right. Yeah. So, I want to thank everyone for listening. And, we'll see you out at the next episode.
Adios.
Bye.
Don't forget your Queen's Blood decks.
That's right.